Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eden, and I am here with the talk of the town.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Here with the talk of the town.
We take you to the Hometown Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of
talk
dance
of the
music.
Town. Here with the talk of the town. Talk of the town.
Night off a little differently. Today marks the 10-year anniversary of the death of Aaliyah. And 10 years after she died, her presence is still being felt in the music industry. Been a lot of carbon copies of her. But to the entire Houghton family, we want to still send our prayers with you. We know it's never easy losing a loved one. So our prayers are definitely with you. Aaliyah, we miss you. And we know you're in heaven smiling down on us. Also, I hate to keep on the somber note just for a second. This past Monday, Nick Ashford, the legendary songwriting duo Ashford and Simpson, passed away in a New York hospital from complications from throat cancer. We all know him for Ashford and Simpson's big hit, Solid as a Rock. But for some of you out there that don't really pay attention to the liner notes, you have to realize the impact on this man that this man had on music. He and Valerie Simpson brought the Motown sound back up to the forefront. You know, they penned hits for Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, like Ain't No Mountain High Enough, You All I Need to Get By. He's one of the most sampled, his songs have been one of the most sampled songwriters in hip hop. He's transcended generations. And he lived a great life. He died at the age of 70. So we definitely send our prayers out to Valerie Simpson, their two daughters who were able to be by the bedside of their father when he passed away, and everybody in general who has lost someone. So I just wanted to throw that out real quick. Thank you for tuning in to Talk of the Town with Nick Eden. I am your host, Nick Eden. I got my man Al with me.
What's up, people?
And we got Kevin over there, eating on some ramen noodles. He got a mouthful of noodles. He can't even talk.
Damn right. With some crackers in them.
The boy over there with some deer sausage.
Some deer sausage?
You know, I don't even know what that, man.
What you saying, man?
Playing around with them Dale.
Hell no.
And on top of that, why are we, you got to be like snitching and dry snitching on me time when I'm eating. Tell me this.
Hey, every time, it's always something new, man.
I don't eat every week now. Don't let them fool me.
Okay, y'all. Some weeks he got coffee, some weeks just tea. I believe he had some Hennessy in his cup a couple weeks ago. He just ain't want to tell nobody. He was real quiet, laid back, and couldn't stop smiling. I tell you, man, that's how you get down. That's how you get down. Anyway. Hello, everybody listening in. Had a great week. I know I had a pretty good week, man. Other than getting that, you know, that shocking news, you know, I got to say, I had a pretty good week. My birthday is coming up next Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Turning that big 3-1. Proud of it, you know. A lot of folks didn't make it to my age, so I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, you know, I don't really reveal my age. No, damn it. I've been on this earth 31 years. Proud of it, player.
There you go.
Proud of it. But everybody else didn't have such a great week, though. Everybody else can have. Johnny Gill didn't have the best week. I'll say that much. You guys don't know, Johnny Gill is currently being sued by the CEO of his own label. How the hell that's like getting fired on your day off. This will get sued by him. Let me tell you what happened. Johnny Gill's getting ready to drop his new album. It was supposed to be originally September 20th. Now it's kind of like in limbo when it's going to be released. But the album is his first solo album in 16 years. It's called Still Winning. And he dropped a single called In the Mood. Now, Johnny Gill is currently signed to Notify Music Group, which is also the label home of Genuine. And Lonnie Burrell, who is the apprentice of Jamie Foxx. Well, the CEO of Notify Music Group, Ira DeWitt, released a song by the name of Might Cry that was supposed to be tapped as Johnny Gill's official second single. It featured Q from 112. Johnny Gill went on Twitter and he said, look, I didn't approve this song. I didn't like this song. I didn't even finish the song. And that's why they put Q on it. You know, that's not my second single. It's not even going to be on my album. You know, he went on to call his CEO deranged and saying that she was effing nuts. He called her a demon. All kind of crazy things. He said that the only reason that she liked the song Might Cry is because she had a hard-on for one of the song's producers. Now, Ira DeWitt, who is also the wife of the owner of the St. Louis Cardinals, filed a suit against him for slander. She said that because of his stature in the music business, his legendary status in the music business, his claims that he made, you know, damaged her reputation, damaged the reputation of her record company, and attacked her personally. So she's suing for unspecific damages. And since then, Johnny Gill hasn't had too much to say on Twitter.
Yeah, I bet.
He had too much to say on Twitter. Now, what this does for his album, we don't know yet. We don't know. The album was supposed to be originally released on September 20th, and we'll see on September 20th if he indeed is still winning. Now, speaking of legendary R&B singers, Robert Sylvester Kelly. This man can't stay out the news when it comes to little kids. I swear he can't.
Why you give out that man full government name?
Everybody knows the man name is Robert Sylvester Kelly, yeah. At least I didn't do like you and call him the late great.
Hey man, y'all don't get all this late great type of comments and stuff, man.
Okay, so check this out. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Bud Billiken Parade, but this is the oldest African American parade in the country. It's held every year in the Bronzeville neighborhood on the south side of Chicago. This year was the 82nd annual Bud Billiken Parade. It's a back to school parade, basically, for the children. You know, just a kind of a big thing that they do at the end of the summer to say, hey, the kids are going back to school, have a great year. This is something we want to do for you today. R. Kelly was asked to be the grand marshal of this children's back to school parade. Now, of course, parents were upset. Clearly upset. But this is the crazy thing. They weren't upset just because of his alleged past with the little girl on the videotape and then him marrying Aaliyah and everything. They were really upset because R. Kelly recently admitted that he's illiterate. This is news to me.
Clearly.
Let's be real about something. R. Kelly is one of the top songwriters of the last 20 years. And he can't read. Look, Fantasia went back and got her GED. What is up with these cats not learning how to read now?
I don't.
What else he got to do?
Do you want to know, girl?
Man, let me tell you something. I feel kind of sorry for him now, because now my thought process is, well, hell, maybe he didn't know she was underage because he couldn't read her ID.
Oh, man.
Hey, I'm just saying, man. Look, love R. Kelly's music, but I'm just saying, if he couldn't read that, he probably thought she was 81. Well, he probably thought she was 31 and it was 13. He just had his numbers backwards. That's all it was. But that's neither here nor there. And sales, sales looking a little, different. Jay-Z and Kanye are still number one on the charts with their new album, their joint album, Watch the Throne. They sold 170,000 copies last week. That was enough to keep them at the number one spot. By the landslide, they were followed by Adele, who is still on the charts, selling 80,000 copies of her new CD, 21. Other than that, the only other urban release that we have in the top 10 is Beyonce. She sold 25,000 copies of her new CD, 4. That puts her just above platinum. And still going. She's got her new single out, 1 Plus 1, that was written by The Dream, that's been covered by like 8,000 people on YouTube. I'm sick of that song at this point. So, we'll see how things go next week. The Game has a new album out. I didn't even know this.
Yep.
And no, I didn't do that album. His new album, The Red Album, is supposed to debut. He's supposed to hit around maybe number 2, number 3, depending on how Jay-Z sells. The new album is selling between 90,000 and 95,000 copies, which is pretty good considering that absolutely nobody knew. I think all those copies were sold in L.A. I'm just saying. I don't know. You guys tell me. When's the last time Game put out an album? Now that I think about it.
Yeah, he put out a couple of mixtapes. He put out an album maybe about
two or three years ago.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't count mixtapes. Maybe it's just me.
Hey, but you know,
I don't count mixtapes. I think that's I don't know. I have a different scene of the mixtape game.
I'm just saying, though, I'm smelling a little 50 Cent in that right there. Yeah, hey.
No, not really.
Yeah.
No, because 50 is a mixtape artist.
I don't believe in mixtapes. You know, anybody that left your boy 50 Cent, you want to hate on him.
What the hell do they have to do with 50 Cent? I don't like mixtapes because I believe that in urban music, we have a problem. We feel like the only way to get our music out there is to give it away for free. When was the last time you had a Susan Boyle mixtape?
Who?
Exactly.
Oh,
Susan Boyle.
Susan Boyle.
When was the last time you had a Taylor Swift mixtape?
I'm just saying, man, it ain't that really, realistically, it ain't that wrong with an artist giving away his music because, man, realistically, before we made an industry, people were giving away music. People were singing out in the square. People were singing out around their family and put you out there in front of them old folks. They sang it, boy.
I understand that aspect, but what I'm saying is urban music is the only genre of music that devalues itself. Because if you're going to do that, then that's fine. I can understand that. But what you don't realize is that you're conditioning the people who listen to your music to get it for free. If I give you 6 or 7 mixtapes in a 2-year time span, why are you gonna buy 12 songs if I've given you 48 of them for free?
I understand that, but I'll just wait for your next release. But Nick,
your next mixtape,
people will bootleg it anyway. It don't even matter if you giving it away either way. The first person to buy it, they're gonna bootleg it about 20 people.
But I'm not being funny. That's also, I feel like that's another. That's something else that's a little bit racial. I hate to call it conspiracy theory, but how many times have you heard about Taylor Swift's album getting leaked?
Never.
Or Lady Gaga is considered one of the biggest artists in the world. You never hear about her full album gets leaked. Yeah,
right,
Beyonce's
man,
album gets leaked. Jay-Z's album gets leaked.
I believe Jay-Z and them leaked Lil Wayne album.
I don't think Jay-Z. No. If you've seen the recent Forbes list, I don't think that Lil Wayne is on Jay-Z's thought process right now.
Man, forget Camel. I hope he says something slick.
Well, Lil Wayne already did say something slick, and that's the
I would love to see those two go at it. Friendly, not you know, physically, but lyrically, I would love to see everybody putting Jay-Z up in the realm of the God MC, blah, blah, blah. Man, that dude ain't that dope. Really, he's still lines. I tell y'all, you go back and listen to that dude rhymes. He's still in lines, man.
Okay. All right.
You know me.
I'm kind of tired of both of them, man. I'm really tired of Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you something right now.
I like the new Jay, man.
I sat there and Lil Wayne did a feature. I forgot whose song it was, but he rapped an entire Aaliyah verse.
Yep.
Word for word.
Yep. And niggas like, oh, that is dope, man. Oh, man, did you hit it? Man, sit down somewhere.
Thank you.
Please.
Yeah,
I'm tired of his voice. I'm tired of them ad-libs. I'm tired of all of that. I like the old Lil Wayne. I like the Lil Wayne that was like still mentoring a bunch of the big timers and trying to follow behind BD. That's the Lil Wayne I
exactly.
like.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like
hey, we got a caller while y'all tirating over here. Y'all want to bring this call in? And Alan, get your board up. We don't see you on the board over here, buddy.
All right, go ahead and bring in a caller. Caller, you are now
I'm
live.
I'm having some problems.
All right, caller 769, you're live on Talk of Town with Nicky. What's up?
Middleman, what's going on? It's your boy Doss, the favorite promoter's promoter.
What's going on, baby?
I just kind of been sitting back for a little minute and listening to what y'all got going on. Very, very interesting, guys. Definitely very interesting. I really wanted to hit on that Jay-Z Lil Wayne situation, man, if y'all don't mind.
Man, help yourself.
Yeah, all right. So I know someone said that, you know, that it's kind of like almost on a conspiracy level that, you know, some of the African-American artists or the pop or the hip-hop artists, their music is leaking, and then when you take it to, you know, take it to another genre of people, their music seems to stay away from that leaked
mm-hmm.
sense. Well, if you look at it, man, it's nothing that the artists, it's nothing that the people are doing. I really believe that that's all in-house. That's all in-house. It's about the people that you work with, the producers that you work with, the staff that you work with. Those are the only people that have access to that music. So,
you're right, but that's why I say conspiracy on that, because this is what you have to think. Those mastering houses and those same plants, those are the same plants. That's not just, oh, this plant handles urban releases. No, these are the pressing plants that Warner Music uses, that Universal Music uses. It's all coming from the same plants, whether it be urban, rock, country, pop, gospel, whatever. They're all coming from the same pressing plants, these mastering houses. They're all taking on these same projects, but by some chance, it's only the urban releases that get leaked.
It's intentional. I truly believe that it's intentional, because if you look at the day and age that we're in, when it comes to a person actually going to a store and picking up a CD, I mean, I ask you, when's the last time that you actually bought a CD? You know what I'm saying? Not actually needing an answer, but, you know, we're different, you know? We're different. We're actually, you know, connoisseurs of music. Today, we're in the age of where you can click that link and you can download it, and of course, it's going to be for free. So why not? The artists are having it in their mind frame. Why not? This is what they're asking for. And if you're an entertainer, your job is to give your fans what they're asking for, and that's free music. If it's free to come out of your mind, then, you know, sometimes it's okay to put it out there. But when you go back to it again, you're like 6 and 7 mixtapes out of a year. Yeah, I feel you. That's a lot of mixtapes out of a year.
Yeah.
Dropping music over and over again. Only thing I would say is scale back some of the mixtapes that you drop. Make it kind of a little bit more exclusive, and that way you just have a better situation to where your music is not just overwhelming the people, you know? Because I mean,
there's more of a demand
for it. Want to hear you. Yeah,
there's more
of
a demand
exactly.
for it. Give us a chance. It's just like Kev always says when we were talking about Beyonce. We appreciate the call. We're gonna go ahead and wrap this up, and then we're gonna go into our topic. You got to build that demand for it, because give us a chance to miss you. You know, we get overexposed to our artists way too much. We never have a chance to miss them. So, you know, that's just one of those things. Anyway, so we're going to go right into it. Our topic today, we're going to be discussing what is sexy. This is the age-old debate of what's sexy in the music business. Now, we all know it's not a secret. When we see somebody that's stepping on stage, when we see somebody big stepping on stage, and they about to sing, in our mind, we're already thinking, they're going to bring it. Am I wrong?
True.
When you see Kelly Price step on that stage, you know, she about to holler. When you saw Luther step on that stage, you know, he was about to holler.
Panic.
Right. But nowadays, with auto-tune and these quote-unquote YouTube artists, there's not a lot of stage presence going on right now. Where do the larger people find a place in the music business? It's one thing I said, this is the reason that I'm getting ready to film this reality show. 80% of unsigned artists are overweight. That doesn't take away from that talent. That doesn't make them any less talented than somebody with, you know, bulging muscles or six-pack, you know, anything like that. But what place do they have? And what's the impact of the big man in hip-hop? And is there still pressure for those artists, once they get on the top of the charts, to lose weight? Let's go ahead and get into our first song of the night. This is going to lead off into this special. We're going to get right back into this. What is sexy? First song is by Ruben Studdard, and it's the title of the show, What is Sexy, featuring Fat Joe. This is the Middleman Present, Talk of the Town, with Nick Eaton on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Ruben exclusive. Yeah. Big boy dancer. 718.
Love's in the eyes of the holder. Baby, we can get closer.
Marketability versus talent? Which one makes you the star?
Damn.
I mean, that's a better question to ask. What do you think, Alex?
You know, well, shit. Excuse my language, but we can look at all the people who are currently in the industry and base it off their marketability versus their talent. A lot of them don't have talent at all.
I feel you on that. And if you want to get in on this little on this discussion, then give us a call 718-508-9972. Or if you're on site listening to us, go ahead and hit that button. If you're on the line already, hit that number one. And let us know what is sexy. This is my thing about it. In this day and age, the skinny folks ain't selling either. Nope. Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. I mean, sexy is really, this is like Rula Tatum's song. It's in the eye of the beholder. Now, there's some people out there that would kick Beyonce down a flight of steps to get to Jill Scott. Myself included. So I think the problem is now that too many people, well, not just now, this has been for years, people have equated being smaller with being sexy. Prime example, in terms of voices, going all the way back to Motown, Florence Ballard was clearly the best singer in the Supremes. But
yeah.
Berry Gordy felt that Diana Ross was more marketable.
That's right. That's right.
You know, this led to a huge blockbuster movie, Dreamgirls. So now we have to ask ourselves, is it really the smaller you are, the sexier you are? You know, Cassie can't sing to save her life, but she stays in the news. Why? Because she's always naked.
Mm-hmm.
Rihanna's always drunk.
Yep.
Hell, they didn't really start talking about Jennifer Hudson again until she lost the weight for this new album. And I'm sorry, this new album was horrible in comparison to her last one.
Yep.
But there was no
like
Oscar to talk about. Yeah, you're right. It's just like Cedric the Entertainer said. I like Big Luther. I don't like Lil Luther. I like
Big
Curl Quite Not Right Luther.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess my thing about it is when you talk about marketability versus talent, two of the biggest male stars in R&B right now are Chris Brown and Trey Songz. Now let's just be honest. Let's be real for a second. Vocally, neither one of them can hold a candle to Ruben Studdard. Neither one of them. But Chris Brown, he's dancing all over the stage. He's jumping up all over stuff. Like he's the new age Cisco.
What?
Jumping up all over the place. Trey Songz, he can't start a performance. And Kevin Hart got on him at the BET Awards. Stop taking your shirt off. You look like a beige greyhound.
Thank you.
And the first thing he did when he started performing, aside from singing that bad note, was taking his
shirt off. Tore that shirt off. Yep. Tore it off.
That was the very first thing he did. So is that sexy? Is that why we listen to him? Because this is my thing. What happens in 20 years? You remember Chaka Khan used to be real small.
And Aretha Franklin.
Aretha was small. Hell, Angie Stone was small.
Yeah.
Long time ago. Long time ago.
Yeah.
Same voice. Same voice. Different image. So I get a lot of people that ask all the time, you know, they say, well, you know, I don't understand why I can't get on. They always tell me I got to lose this amount of pounds. Prime example, making the band 4 when they put the group Day 26 together. The favorite for the season was Big Mike.
Right.
You know, and Diddy told him that the only thing keeping him from being in the group was that he had to lose 50 pounds. Think about this. The only thing keeping you from being in this group, the only thing that's because I love your voice, because at the end of the day, you still have to make the record. You can't see somebody on the record when you listen to the song. You can't see them. He said the only thing keeping you from being in this group is that you have to lose 50 pounds. And he lost the 50 pounds and he made the group. But I guess my biggest thing on that is,
at some point, the beauty fades. And nowadays, and just like we were talking about earlier, and we said this for weeks and weeks, they don't have to buy the music. They can get it for free. So at some point, do they not realize that this marketability, as they call it, or this sex symbol image, is still not working?
Right.
They spend more keeping the artists in the gym than they do keeping them on the road.
I mean, let's look at, I guess you would say, 2 or 3 decades ago. Like you had, you know, we got our Gerald LaVert. We got Teddy B. You know what I'm saying? You know, he gained weight. You got Barry White. You know, he was a little chubby. And then you got the guy from Drew Hill, like the chubby guy from Drew Hill. He was still dancing on cross the stage. Yeah.
He was jumping higher than Cisco.
I'm trying to tell you. And they still... You know, they still had a nice, you know what I'm saying, they had both. They had marketability and talent, you know what I'm saying? And he could still carry a note while hopping across that stage and did not stumble, not one bit. You know, but nowadays, I mean, then is what they want. Then is what they feel that America wants. You know, but people who love good music, they just want good music. You know, they don't care how you look, they just want good music.
Now, it's funny that you bring up, they say thin is what America wants. But you're right, that's what they think. You're exactly right. That is what they think. But when you look at what America wants, let's break down these reality shows real quick. Is it not more often than not the heavier artists, the heavier singers, who are at the forefront of the competitions? Think about it. Ruben Studdard, you know, for Fantasia's season of American Idol, yes, she was a favorite because of her voice. But let's not get it twisted. The reason that it was such a shock to America that Jennifer Hudson got voted off is because she was clearly the favorite to win American Idol that year. Susan Boyle, she's another example of it. This is a big old white woman. Big white woman in her 50s. This is the thing about it. This is what people have to realize. The average American does not look like Trey Songz. The average American does not look like Beyonce. The average American is not a size 6 if they're a female. There's a relatability factor to it. I can tell you right now, I know women, a whole bunch of women, that would tell you in a second, they would not Genuine, Johnny Gill, and all them other cats out the way to get to Gerald LaVert. If you ever look at old LSG shows, Gerald LaVert had the loudest applause of everyone.
Exactly.
He had great music, he had a great voice, and he was a performer.
All the way.
And that's what that's what's missing.
Yeah. We got a caller that wanna comment, Nick. Let's bring this caller back in.
Okay.
Caller 769, you're live.
What's going on, guys? This is Dolph again, man.
Okay.
I really believe somewhere along the line, back in the days when real stopped being real, we got programmed to believe that sexy is the only way we can sell. And along with believing that sexy is the only way we can sell, we started diminishing the minds of our great music, great musicians and artists to where the point where they had to start doing the things that Jennifer Hudson is doing to lose X amount of pounds and X amount of days, or you risk jeopardizing your contract. I mean, these days there are clauses inside of these artists' contract where they have to stay below a certain weight and just to sell. So it's not actually even about the music anymore. When you say marketability, I mean, what are we marketing? Are we marketing the music? Are we marketing the artist? Are we marketing the artist's talent? I mean, what really is it? Because to me, it's not about the music, because we want to figure out another way, because we know album sales aren't doing what they used to do. So we want to figure out another way to make money off these artists, whether they be appearances where you have to physically be there. And for you to physically be there, somebody has to take a liking to you. And again, sex sells. So that liking is very, very easy when you're glam and slender and fit, as opposed to me really caring about the music and listening to your voice, listening to the passion that you put behind your music with your voice. Because I'm a firm believer, like, the bigger you are, as far as the better you hold that music. I mean, like you said, the Gerald LaVert, the Patti LaBelle. I mean, when they hit a note on you guys, you felt it. You felt it. If you were standing right beside them, I wish I could be beside every artist that had that weight on them and just feel when they let a note go, because it's remarkable. It's irreplaceable. But we've replaced it selling sex.
And you know what? You're right. I think, don't get me wrong, I'm not too naive to believe that sex doesn't sell in some form or fashion. You got to think about it. Joe LaVert made a lot of songs about sex. Women love him. Women love, like, it's just like Ruben said on the song, it's in the eyes of the beholder. Somebody, a whole bunch of somebody's out there think that Anthony Hamilton's little ashy ass is sexy.
Yeah, but it's about what side of the sex. You can sell the story of sex, and you can sell the image of sex. The Jail of Verse, the old school artists, they were selling the story of sex, which is very, very understandable. I'm going to tell you what could possibly happen to you in my bedroom, and I know you're going to like it because it sounds good coming from me. Or I'm just going to show you what you could possibly see in my bedroom when you go to the Trey Songz and the Chris Brown.
Let me give you a good example. I don't know if you guys remember this. This was back in late 2001, early 2002. This is when Midnight Love was still on BET.
This
was around the time when they were still playing ballads. Like, they don't play ballads on the radio like they used to. But this was around that time when they still played ballads on the radio. There was a song that came out, and it was called Say Yes, and it was by Florida. Didn't know what the hell they looked like.
Right.
We had no idea that Marsha and Natalie looked like Fraggle Rock. All we knew was that the song was off the chain. Everybody loved that song. Everybody loved it. And then when we saw the video, we was like, damn.
Hmm?
Yeah.
But guess what? By that point, they had already got me. They had you in their grasp. So it's just like you said, you know, it's just something. At the end of the day, you still got to feel that emotion. That's why when you look at the old versus the new, we got songs from back in the day. When you hear that Luther, House is Not a Home, for the people that remember that when that song came out, you can remember what you were doing when you first heard that song. You can smell the air of how it was. You can taste whatever you were eating or drinking. We don't have that anymore. So, and honestly, we never knew if Luther was singing to a man or a woman. All we knew was that whatever the hell he was singing to, they had it good.
That's true.
Whatever he was singing to, they had it good. And this is going to take us into our next segment of it, because this is something that seems like it's a bit of a double standard. Do those same rules apply for hip-hop? Let's take it back. Let's think about it. Biggie Small. Let's take it back further. Let's think of the Fat Boys. Which were they?
Right.
It was a gimmick what they were doing. I will give you that. But you can't deny the impact that they had on hip hop at that time. Look at Biggie Smalls. They can't deny the impact that he had at that time. Look at 8-Ball. You can't deny that. You definitely can't deny the impact that A-Ball and MJG had at that time. These and actually them being big guys is what made them stand out literally and you know, from the rest of the crowd. Big Pun, Fat Joe, even if you come into today's terms, Rick Ross, who's one of the top rappers right now. So do those same rules apply to hip hop?
I mean, Rick walking around with his shirt off, greasy belly with the taco meat. I mean, he living life right now in the fast lane. I can't even hate on the dude, but Rick, you need to put that up, D. Put it up.
Man,
but
I really think
working
that.
For him.
I really
you got to give
that,
him that. It's working for him.
It is working for him.
I mean, you got, like, I can remember being on Mississippi State campus and overhearing a female saying, my man gonna look like Rick Ross, I want that belly. I was like, what?
She wants that
belly.
Don't call him out. You know, for those of us, those guys who are out there who are, you know, all in the gym every day and you're six pack and you look like a Ken doll, remember something. They play with the Ken doll, but they sleep with the teddy bear now. I'm just saying.
That make me feel bad.
Hey, that girl made it super clear, man, that she wanted a Rick Ross.
Shoot, I'm about to grow my beard back now. Y'all better stop.
Like go home, man. Go back to Mississippi and eat some cornbread and thicken up a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. It's getting cold, man. I'm telling you right now. Because, see, we look good in sweaters.
Hey, we got another caller that want to come in, man. Let's bring this caller in. Caller 678, you're live on the Talk of the Town with Nick E.
Hey, this is Miss Linda.
Hey, Linda. Hello.
I have to totally agree with the last comment that was made about we play with the Ken dolls and we sleep with the teddy bears.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
And I don't think Rick Ross needs to keep putting his shirt on. Women like a little bit of a belly. And a woman does not want a man that it takes longer for him to get ready than it takes her to get ready.
See, that's what I'm talking about. But now, let me ask you this. Because the whole topic comes about because we're talking about, is there a double standard when it comes to hip-hop? The hip-hop artists that are the bigger guys, they get a lot more praise. As opposed to the singers, they don't get as much. You know, you haven't really had a big guy singer that was looked upon as being sexy since Gerald LaVert. So does that same rule apply for R&B artists?
Oh, see, this, you know, I think that's just in the eye of the beholder because, I mean, I don't like skinny men. So I thought Luther was very attractive. I think Ruben Studdard is very attractive. I like big men. So I think it's in the eye of the beholder.
And if you go to twitter.com/Nick Eaton, you will find one that you'll
I'm just saying it's all, and I think really what it boils down to is the confidence. Confidence is what makes a man sexy. It doesn't have to be about his body at all. If he has a certain level of confidence, I'm not going to use that word, swagger, because I hate that word, but if he has that confidence and it shows through that he is secure in himself regardless of what the size of his body is, he is attractive.
I absolutely agree. There you go.
So that's my opinion.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
But right. I just had there to chime in and give you my opinion on that.
And that is perfect. And Linda, we thank you for your call. Both of you guys, hold on to the line. We're going to go into our second song of the day. That actually goes into our second song. This is Christina Aguilera with Beautiful. You listen to the Talk of the Town. The Middleman presents the Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton on Blog Talk Radio.
Beautiful, no matter what they say.
That was Christina Aguilera's little hollering ass with Beautiful. I'm just saying. She about this big, but a little thing be hollering. I'm just saying.
Hey, man.
You guys are just
I want to apologize to everybody that had to endure that. Real talk.
Yo, dog, they leave out, but he's still listening to us, man. He said, appreciate the love we've been showing to him on the show, and good topic.
That's what's up. Guys, if you're just tuning in, we are talking about what is sexy in the music business. It's no secret that when you see somebody the size of Luther Vandross, Ruben Studdard, or Kelly Price, you know they're going to bring it. But in the age of auto-tune and no stage presence, where does the heavy crooner find a place? What's the impact of the big man on hip-hop? And is there still pressure for those artists on top of the charts to lose weight, which is actually our third segment. Now, let's say that you get in the door. Let's say you get in the door, and let's say you get on top of the charts. And a label comes to you, and they say, hey, well, hey, you know, we got this next album coming out, man. We need you to tone it down a little bit. I mean, literally, we need you to go in there and tone it down. We need you to drop some weight. You know, we got to make it more marketable. So what then? What happens is, let's look at some of the artists that have been on top of the charts and they have lost weight, and how their album, I actually sat there and I put this chart together on how their album has fared after they lost the weight. Luther Vandross's lowest selling album was an album where he was skinny. So I'm talking about the real skinny Luke. I'm talking about the, excuse me, miss, but what's your name? Where are you from?
The Dancing on the Beach Luther.
Yeah. Lowest selling album.
Yeah.
Luther Studdard lost 80 pounds and dropped the Return album. Lowest selling album. Kelly Price lost weight. She dropped the Mirror album. Lowest selling album. Are we noticing a trend here? Jennifer Hudson's released her second album, I Remember Me. Lost the weight. Not selling like her last one was. As a matter of fact, whenever she does interviews, the interviews are more about Weight Watchers than they are about her music.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Chrisette Michelle lost weight going into her second album, Epiphany. Guess what? It didn't sell the same as the first. And her new album, Let Freedom Ring, sold even less. These are the same voices. Same voices. Great songs. Well, some of them. We talked about that whole Chrisette Michelle thing. Sorry, Chrisette. Anyway.
But can I say something, man?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just looking at the fact that there's a lot, like you said, man, all the artists you name, man, it's hurtful to see how much weight they had to lose just to be accepted in the media's eye, in the public's eye. Now, I would look back at the fact that we can look at artists from way back before Luther, man. You know, you had a lot of artists back in Blues Day and all these other days where they were putting out good records and people were supporting them. Now, when they lose weight, I want to ask everybody on the line, you can answer this one. Do they stop supporting these people when they lose weight? Like, when you have a like you just gave up the numbers as far as how many the lowest selling albums and all that. But, man, when you see Patty when she had weight on her, man, you thinking about how good she can cook and sing. Like Al said, I want to see her in the kitchen singing and cooking.
Exactly.
Cornbread and greens. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't have the same, the caller was saying earlier, man, you just don't have that same feeling when they lose weight. Jennifer Hudson got a large voice, but I wonder will
she had a large mouth.
Yeah, that looked like a large mouth.
And now she lost all that weight, her head big, skin hanging off of her. It's
she looks like Donkey from Shrek, though. I'm just saying.
Hilarious. Okay, all right. Well, I think there's, like I said, there's a thing about relatability. You know, most of America is not a size 6. You know, most of America doesn't wear size 32 pants. You know, there's a relatability to it. Now, am I saying that everybody has to be, like, let's just be honest. We would all feel some type of way if every single singer or rapper that we saw out there looked like Rick Ross or Ruben Studdard. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is a lot of artists, a lot of good artists are being shut out simply because of an image, unless they turn into a gimmick. Prime example, you remember Men at Large?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
Now, the brothers could sing. I'll never take that away from them.
Big Bub.
Big Bub.
Heavy D.
But it was a gimmick to it. It was a gimmick to it in terms of Men at Large. You know, and it's just like Carlos was saying a little earlier. It's about that confidence. Men at Large came out, and yeah, they could sing, but they come out singing, I'm so alone, alone. I mean, like, come on, dude. Really? Nobody wants to hear that. That's depressing.
That's
really depressing. If you want to get into this conversation, go ahead and if you're on the phone lines now, hit that number 1. If you're not on the phone lines, listen online, give us a call, 718-508-9972. Something has got to be done. Because if I got to see Ray J on TV one more time, I think I'm going to slap somebody.
Hey, but Nick, do you think the pressure that the artists face are like, you know, like a lot of teen girls now, especially like with a lot of our female artists that did have weight on them, is it because of what the model, you know, like the model size bodies and, you know, the American Idol type thing going on as far as with American Beauty and all that other crap they got? But you think they're playing a factor?
I think it plays a large factor, and I think that sometimes we downplay the pressure that we put on these artists and just these entertainers in general. I think the pressure that we put on them, it seeps into American culture because they see someone like, let's use Monique as an example, who has always been a card-carrying member of the Big Girls Club, and she's been proud of it. She made it sexy. She was confident about what she was doing.
Man,
she won that Oscar. She got that TV show. She's 30 pounds lighter.
I know. Hey, man, you got one person,
lighter.
Though.
Another example, Star Jones. Women connected Jones on The View. They connected with her because of her confidence, because she was so confident of how she does. She went and she got this gastric. She looks horrible now.
Yes,
and she goes on to say that it's such a great life change for her, but it put about 20 years of age on her. She looks much older than she is.
Yep.
She looks sickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was the same thing with Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey built the empire that is Oprah Winfrey built on her being that big. She was relatable to every housewife that didn't make it and get up to the gym or didn't run those 5 miles that morning. And as the show got more popular, she got smaller.
Yep.
If you remember, there was a time Oprah was about as small as Jennifer Hudson is now.
Yeah, that is true.
You know, and I think that pressure seeps over into America. You have these teen girls that are already dealing with body images, and I think it impacts the females a little bit more than it impacts males, because the dudes, we just like, man, screw it. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm big. I'm going to go eat the sandwich. But it's a lot of pressure on young women. And it seeps into the house. That's how you see all these eating disorders develop. They see the covers of these magazines, and they see these girls that are rail thin, which even the modeling industry says is a problem now. But hey, what can you do? I don't know. What is sexy? Sexy is in the eye of the beholder. Yeah, there's somebody out there that thinks you're sexy. If you're out there and you're a female singer and you're about 30 pounds overweight and you got a gap in your mouth, trust me, there is a dude out there that's going to love you and that gap. You can bite an apple full of picket fence, he's going to love it.
Yes, sir.
Now, if there's a dude, and let's be honest, in the South, we don't like them skinny. You can save that for Europe.
Hey, man, one person you forgot that I love. Let me say hello. I love.
I was about to say, you all right?
Jill Scott, boy.
I said earlier.
But you see, Jill, even though Jill lost some weight, Jill still keeps a size on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Nick,
do you remember when Alicia Keys had that photo shoot and they chipped off some of her hips off the cover, and she got upset about it? Remember that?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mhm. Mhm. Hey man, but
and she's still one of the best performers out.
Yep.
Now, hell, man, I'm gonna tell you like this, dog. Me personally, I think that if we sat up there and made an effort to tell the industry, hey man, y'all don't, you know, I don't care about heavy singers, I don't care about skinny singers or ugly or pretty singers. Just put me some good music. That's the end of the day. You know? That's definitely what
that's
I would
that's
see.
What you want. Yeah. Let's be honest, how many women just really love Seal? Wow.
On that note, man, hey man, let everybody
so
know what
wrong,
we talked
man.
About today, man. And let's tell everybody thank you. We got to appreciate everybody.
I'm just
so
wrong. Today we discussed the age old debate of what is sexy in the music business. Now we know there's no secret when you see somebody the size of Luther, Ruben, Kelly P, you know they're gonna bring it. But in the age of auto tune and no stage presence, where does the heavy corner find a place? What's the impact of the big man on hip hop? Is there still pressure for those artists on the top of the charts to lose weight? There is, honestly. But honestly, I think that the industry is being shown by the fans every day, hey, we're not going to support somebody just because they got a six-pack. If you got a six-pack and you suck, we're still not going to. We might bootleg it. We're not going to buy it. And I want to thank everybody that called in and gave your opinion today. Everybody who listened in, if you're on the web chat right now, if you listen to us online on Twitter, everybody that retweeted our links, and everybody who's been joining the fan page for the Middlemen and been rocking with us for the last 2.5 years. We appreciate you guys, and we're going to keep giving it to you week after week after week until you tell us you don't want it anymore. And then we're just going to come up with another name, and we're going to come back out with another show. And just try to get your attention again. Al, what you got going on this week, man?
Man, this weekend, man, well, sad to say, we had a death in the family last night, so I'll probably be with my fam this weekend. So, but we will be back live on Sunday on the Middlemen Talk Show. So, tune in, people.
Yeah, we're going to post this show.
All right,
we want
to send our prayers out for Al's family. Kev, what you got cracking, man?
Man, we just getting ready for this talk show this Sunday, man. I appreciate my girl Samantha Connor for giving us some ideas. She kind of scammed me over here. I will repost that on y'all's screen right there in a second, because this right here kind of, woof, Sam scared me. I'm going to just let y'all know right now.
Oh,
if we ever do these topics right here, oh, my God, we're going to have people probably want to shoot us.
I'll tell you what. Well, make sure you guys tune in this coming Sunday for the Middlemen Talk Show, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Next Thursday, tune into Talk of Town with Nick Eden, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Hey, man, it is what it is. Go ahead and
give out your Twitters, man. I got people want to know what
you're
talking about.
Oh, yeah, give out your Twitter information, Linda. Give out your Twitter info. Guys, Al, where can they find you?
Yeah, Al, give it, because I only got 100 followers and I don't need no more.
Look, man, you can follow me at The Middle Men Al. You can follow Nick at Nick Eden. And if you want to follow KG, follow KG at The Middle Men KG.
Also, don't forget to log on to www.nickedenmusic.com and get your R&B fix for the day. Just saying. And wish me happy birthday. Next Thursday is my birthday. I'm gonna be working on my birthday. Ain't that some...
We got a midget stripper for you. It's going down.
Look here.
I ain't sure what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, go take a listen time out. Take a minute, shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world, you destined to earn some. Linda, here, comment on what you hear. Let's figure out this master plan and put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't get you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand, stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man, cause he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in, go live, 6 p.m., blogtalkradio.com, the middle me. Hey, what's happening, the middle me? Hey, what's happening, the middle me? Hey, what's happening, blogtalkradio.com, the middle me.
Well, damn.
Hey, man, I'm so sorry, man. I'm over here messing around with this screen, and all of a sudden, it just did its own thing. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, see how they do? That's my early birthday present.
I'm sorry, man. My bad, man. I know how I get
hey,
out.
Hey, midget strippers away from me. I don't do midgets.
We got a midget stripper with a pig leg.
Man, dude, I saw a stripper with one arm one time.
No, dog. No. They had a stripper that ain't had no legs, no arms.
What?
She was just,
took
yeah, man.
An
she was
hour
good.
To get her bra off.
I'm telling you. It was pretty wild. One of my partners told me the other day, man, he was up in the club. It was a 60-year-old lady in that stripper.
What?
Yeah, man.
Where was he at? The club?
Yeah, man.
Get on down, get on down. Get on down.
And that scripting. The cool in the game.
Get on down. That's crazy. You know what? I'm done. I can't do no more. You know what?
Like, what can you say to that? What can you say to that, man?
But my thing is, why even tip if she can't pick it up?
I know, man.
The only one got arthritis, the one with no legs, no arms, is shooting across the floor.
Yeah. Hey man, she was bad on the hand. She was bad on the headstand. I ain't say handstand, headstand.
What? Stop. We will see y'all this Sunday. Yeah, better. We will see y'all this Sunday. And don't forget to look out for the Rhythm and Body Fitness Challenge coming to BlipTV.com this winter. You're going to see your boy up there losing weight. I'm not losing it for no images. I'm losing it because I'm tired of my thighs rubbing together. Y'all remember that commercial?
the what?
You remember that commercial they were talking about why they want to lose weight? Yeah, the lady, she was like, I want to be around for my grandkids' graduation. The next lady was like, I want to be around to see my son get out of the military. Then they get to the black dude, he like, because I'm tired of my thighs rubbing together.
You know what? Whoever did that right there, now, just dedicated to them, because you know that makes you want to.
Put the motherfucker on the face!
That's just what it is, like. That is so wrong,
man. Oh,
man. So wrong.
I'm just saying, though. I'm going to find that commercial and post it up on the Middleman page.
Yeah, please.
Tune in this Sunday, guys, to the Middleman Talk Show.
Please.
We out.